This WebmasterRadio.fm program is made possible in part by the following.
AFCON 2010 is only weeks away, June 21st through 23rd in Denver. It's the trade show where affiliates attend for free, but only if you register now. Register right now at AFFCON2010.com. AFCON 2010 will feature two epic keynotes featuring New York Times bestselling author and social media expert Joel Kahn and the man they call Shoe Money, Jeremy Shoemaker. AFCON 2010 is proud to feature 2 days of non-stop sessions, as well as a plethora of premium professional development sessions on Wednesday, June 23rd, from Search Engine Strategies, ClicksMarketing.com, SiteTuners.com, and more. AFCON 2010 will also feature 2 blockbuster nights of nighttime networking with WebmasterRadio.fm's annual affiliate badge and the PMG Superstar Affiliate Party. Register right now and join the thousands in the affiliate marketing community that will be at AFCON 2010, the trade show that's free for all affiliates, June 21st through 23rd in Denver. Register right now at AFFCON2010.com. That's AFFCON2010.com.
The opinions expressed on this WebmasterRadio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WebmasterRadio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Please welcome your CEO coach. WebmasterRadio.fm presents a show custom built to give you everything you need to build your business on the web. From funding to finances, setup to staffing, the CEO coach will break down the art of business development from the ground up by one of the experts of online business growth, management, and development. Now, here to get you started is your CEO coach, Jillian Musig.
Welcome to Webmaster Radio CEO Coach. This is Jillian Musig of SEO Moz. I've got with me Nina Price today. Good morning, Nina.
Hey, good morning, Jillian.
Pleasure to have you with me again. And today we have again Mr. Dennis Klemmer, an insurance agent who can manage both personal and business insurance and has visited with us once before. Good morning, Dennis.
Oh, good morning, Jillian and Nina. It's nice to talk with you today.
Great. Dennis, last time you were here, we were talking about the basic slip and fall type insurance, liability type stuff, and then we got into some errors and omissions, the different kinds of errors and omissions insurance that are out there. Folks can go back to the iPhone or Webmaster Radio's website to get that podcast. But today I wanted to expound a little bit on errors and omissions. There are different kinds. We have a lot of folks who have small businesses listening to us, local, but some of them also work nationally and internationally. Can you tell us about the different kinds of E&O and maybe even what we can expect to pay for it?
Well, if we talk about professional liability or errors and omissions, E&O, there's basically 3 types. We have ones that will only provide protection for you for claims that are done in the U.S., brought in the U.S. We have a second type that, let's say you also work in Germany and the U.S., a claim is filed in Germany, the policy wouldn't cover it. That claim would have to be brought back to the U.S. So foreign coverage, but the claim has to be adjudicated back into the U.S. And then the most broad type would be international coverage. The claim is adjudicated and handled in the country that has brought the particular action. A typical E&O policy for a sole proprietor, $1 million in liability, starts somewhere typically around $1,000 to $1,500. And they can go up depending on how large the company is, how many employees, whether it's international, and really the type of risk that it is. So, you know, the sky's the limit in terms of how high it goes, but plan on saying $1,000 to $1,500 is probably going to be your entry level.
That's excellent. So few people are willing to give us some hard numbers. I really appreciate that. And, of course, the kind of insurance I want is the one where you can sue me in West by God nowhere, north, south of who knows what, and I'm still covered. I like that one. Come get me anywhere in the world, and I'm there. All right. And at the same time, of course, the best insurance is the one you never have to use.
Right. If I could say one thing, it makes a lot of sense because your audience needs to understand that laws vary so much internationally, and it might be better for that claim to be brought, let's say, for example, in Germany, than to bring it back here to the U.S.
Oh, that's a thought I haven't had. Okay, that makes good sense. Do you have some pointers about staying out of court? I guess, as I said, the best insurance is one that one doesn't have to use. Are there alternatives where you say, gee, you know, you're well covered, we can take you to court, but here are some things you might want to consider if you're having a rub with somebody?
Well, I think part of a good strategy is to have good risk management, to be using best practices. Also, there's nothing to say that instead of having to go to court that you can't go to mediation or binding arbitration. They are much quicker, and they are usually less expensive for ways. I mean, the best way to avoid it is to have good practices, good documentation, and try not to let a minor issue turn into a major catastrophe. I mean, many times if you have made a mistake, to acknowledge it, to deal with it, can go a long way to prevent something from becoming a major litigation issue. I mean, too many times we see suits.
Right. So what you're saying, right, you're saying if you've made a mistake, acknowledge it. That's kind of basic practices in, you know, human life and in business and so on, as well as protecting yourself against lawsuits. Pretty good point. Tell me a little about travel insurance. Many of us do travel quite frequently, and so we're looking for travel insurance for our employees as well as ourselves. At SEOmoz, we picked up a travel insurance plan from you because we do travel the world quite frequently.
Right, and to make sure that the audience understands, it's not what you would consider when I go on vacation or something for a trip interruption, etc. It's really meant for the corporate world where you travel internationally if you have a medical or emergency, usually for senior executives and their spouses, or their employees. If they can't get the type of medical care that they would get here in the U.S., the policy pays for them to be able to be medevac basically back to the U.S. It also, because we live in a turbulent world, it does provide kidnap, ransom coverage, also for negotiation. It provides general liability or slip and fall internationally. It can also provide workers' compensation coverage for international workers overseas, non-owned and hired autos. So if you rent a car, let's say in Germany, the policy could provide you coverage as if you had rental car coverage here in the U.S. So it's really designed for people that has employees traveling internationally, and it provides what I would consider a safety net to help them deal with being overseas, but also understand that if they are injured or become severely ill, can get the necessary medical care that they're accustomed to in the U.S., it provides a way for them to be repatriated without busting the bank of their employer.
That makes good sense. Okay. About what do we expect to pay for travelers for travel insurance for corporate plans?
Again, it probably starts in the area of $1,000 to $1,500. It's really going to be how many people, how many employees are traveling. Also, what countries are they traveling to? Now, I just want to point out that if it is on the no travel from the U.S. government, State Department, the policy is not going to pay for that particular thing. So if you travel to Afghanistan or other no travel places, you're basically on your own. None of the insurance policies that we're aware of are going to provide you in active war zones or other places that have been put on the no travel for the U.S. government.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay, I'm going to go to a commercial break. And we'll be back shortly. Dennis, when we return, I'd like to talk about key life insurance and even personal life for sole proprietors. Get it all in the same place.
Stay tuned. More on how to build your business on the web with the CEO Coach right after this.
What is this? Why is my website not ranking higher?
Well, sounds like you could use a link building report from SEOfox.com.
What's that?
You can't rank without good backlinks. And SEOFox.com's link building report lets you enter domains and compare their backlinks. It gives a detailed report that shows you why each domain ranks where it does, and it reduces the time it takes to find more links. With SEOFox.com's link building report, you can find more links, use their search marketing services to find more links, or better yet, they could even build your own backlinks.
So you think you're pretty sly with that SEO Fox link building report?
Sly like a fox.
Get your link building report today at SEOFox.com. That's SEOFox.com.
This is a test of the PRWeb content and news delivery system from PRWeb and PRWebAuthor.com. If this was a real release date, your story would reach more than 30,000 journalists, 250,000 RSS subscribers, and just over 30,000 unique websites. PRWeb can reach your target audience online, drive traffic to your website, achieve high rankings on search engines, and get your content on top news sites like Yahoo News. Editors are available 24/7 to help you optimize your content for maximum exposure to over 70 million people in the U.S. alone. If this were a real PRWeb release date, your website would have so much traffic, you'd be tempted to duck and cover. If you have an online marketing emergency, go to PRWebOffer.com for 25% off. PRWeb, the premier online news release and content distribution service.
Staying ahead of the curve to deliver the best online marketing solutions you need. That's what the JAR Group is all about. The JAR Group offers a full-service suite of marketing and managing solutions custom-tailored for affiliate, search, and social media. The JAR Group uses their resources and research to help meet and exceed the revenue expectations of each and every client. Find out how the JAR Group can work for you at thejargroup.com. That's thejargroup.com. The JAR Group, online marketing with measurable results.
Ecom Experts, Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Internet Marketing Channel, only on webmasterradio.fm.
We're back with Jillian Musig, the CEO Coach, only on webmasterradio.fm.
And welcome back to CEO Coach at Webmaster Radio. This is Jillian Musig and my associate Nina Price. And I have Dennis Klemmer, insurance agent, with me here to discuss life insurance for small businesses and even for sole proprietors. Tell me a little about key life insurance, Dennis. We have that over at SEO Moz for our key employees. And I'd like to know a little more about what it covers, how we decide who a key employee is, and how much we should cover them for.
Well, key life insurance is really meant for people that are either founders of the corporation or key contributors to it. If all of a sudden you were to lose that asset and you had to replace them with, let's say, a consultant or a third party, or the business would suffer detriment to it, key life is a way to help lessen that severity. For example, I know that you have at SEO Moz, you have a gentleman that's internationally known for his mathematical skills. Perhaps there's only a dozen or so of those individuals in the world. If you were to lose and for the next 6 months not able to be able to fulfill your obligations, key life could potentially fill some of that gap where you're losing that revenue, or you have to go ahead and hire that expertise on a short-term basis at a significant hourly rate.
That makes good sense. And yes, we do have a couple of employees who do that. So no, you don't need it for the vice president of bottle caps, but yes, you need it for anyone who has a key skill set that would mean if they were out of the office or not working, for whatever reason, you couldn't operate again at the same financially viable level. That makes good sense. Now, what about if somebody is severely ill? Is there a coverage for that or only key life?
Well, there's coverage for disability. However, that's going to be compensating the individual, not the company. Key life is really for the death of that employer or that founder or key employee. So there's a difference there. We do have disability insurance, both on an individual and a group basis, but that's really to help a particular employee if they're severely disabled or unable to perform their job functions.
That makes sense. That's too bad. I see that as a big loophole, a big failing in the insurance industry today, just as an employer, mind you. Okay. Tell me a little bit about the cost of Key Life Insurance.
Well, Key Life Insurance is very similar to your personal life. It's going to be rated on whether male or female, your age, your health, smoker, non-smoker. So the prices can be as little as several hundred dollars per year to thousands of dollars per year, depending on how well or the age of the individual we're insuring, plus also how much we're going to be providing insurance for.
Excellent. Okay, I appreciate that. I think, Nina, you've got some questions.
Well, Dennis, for people starting out, maybe they're going out on their own and they're just consulting, would you outline a little bit of, you know, what do they absolutely need to have and know about up front? And then as their business grows, what are some of the key insurances that they should be planning to add? So sort of a progression of insurances, as it were.
Sure, those are excellent questions. Normally, when people are starting out, they're getting contracting agreements, and they usually have to sign some type of contract with the particular entity that they're working with. We suggest that they take a look at those, give us a call, send us a copy of the insurance requirements. Too often, there's many requirements in there that might make it financially non-attractive to that person just starting out. The contracts that we typically see require them to have commercial general liability and some type of professional liability, so slip and fall and professional liability. As I had said, I think, in a previous podcast, professional liability starts around $1,000 to $1,500. A general liability policy starts around $500. So we're looking at $1,500 to $2,000 for that individual to be able to fulfill their insurance requirements.
Makes sense. How much does that cover, that minimum amount?
On the professional liability, we'd be talking $1 million. On the general liability, we'd be looking at $1 million per occurrence, $2 million per aggregate, typically.
Okay. That makes sense. And now, as we grow to a larger organization, the things we begin to add would be things like the key man life insurance or key person life insurance. Are there any other things we should be looking at?
Definitely. Depending on the state that you're in, workers' compensation for your employees is something that's critical. Here in Washington State, we're a monopolistic state, so you get your workers' compensation insurance through the state of Washington. However, there's gaps, so we recommend stopgap or employer's liability to help fill those gaps that workers' comp doesn't cover. Non-owned and hired auto liability onto your commercial general liability policy. Should an employee stop and pick up a roll of stamps while they're on the clock? Those type of things.
Okay, that makes good sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So as one adds those kinds of things, I think also at SEO Moz, we have an in-house attorney liability. A great deal of the listeners do blogging, as we do at SEO Moz. What covers us when we blog? Because there's so many issues about whether you have copyright infringements, there are libel and slander issues, and so on and so forth. I mean, this opens a whole new world of troubles. So, again, without giving legal advice, just give us some tips on blogging that helps us keep us, well, not out of the courts, let's say, keeps us out of insurance issues. Okay?
Well, with respect to blogging, it's really interesting because we've been talking with several of the carriers lately, and the internet and the whole blogging is so new to them that they really don't understand it. We've had several carriers telling us that they would prefer not to have clients that have blogs.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Dennis, that's pretty funny. I think just about every organization, large and small these days, has a blog. I can't think of a company that doesn't.
Well, it was interesting because our brokerage has an insurance blog, and when we told the carrier that, does that mean that they wouldn't want to insure an insurance brokerage, they were just questioning, how would an insurance broker have a blog, and what do you blog about? We said, well, we blog about insurance topics, of course. So it's a new area for them. Really, the areas that you get in trouble with on blog is typically in the personal and advertising. The best advice that we can get, if anyone, if you basically have an international audience. So when you hit that enter key, you can't take it back. So disparaging remarks or remarks made when perhaps you're frustrated or angry, our advice, wait 24 hours, reread it before you send it.
That's a brilliant idea. And I think that kind of goes in life in general as well. We say sleep on it. That's a really good tip. I would agree also that once you press the send key, it doesn't come back. And there are always, you know, folks who can quickly do screen capture or whatever. So considering that is important. But as you're going through this, which insurance that we've already covered here, or is there a second one that we should be talking about, covers us for blogging?
Well, there could be two, and there could be overlap. Your commercial general liability has coverage called personal and advertising. Depending on the type of client, there may be coverage under that, or we're seeing more with the consulting area where many of those general liability carriers are endorsing the policy to remove that coverage for that very fact. Where we then pick it up would be on the professional liability under the consulting area. So we work with our clients to make sure that they have the adequate coverage. Depending on their particular needs, it might well be some overlap between their professional and a general liability, or it's picked up strictly on their professional liability.
Excellent. That really makes sense. And then as we wrap up this show, I'd like you to tell us one more piece. Many of the folks who are listening in here are sole proprietors, and they are the only people in their business. So they also have personal insurance needs. Is it a good idea to meld those insurance needs, if you will, with one representative, as I have done with you? You carry my personal insurance as well as my business insurance. I found it to be very useful. Are there advantages that you'd like to discuss here that make it valuable?
Well, I think working with an independent insurance broker, you have many more choices. We can actually meld together your professional and your personal lives with various carriers to meet your unique situations. That's probably one of the biggest advantages. We understand both your professional and then your personal, and able to put the policies together that can protect both your corporation and then also your individual nest egg. And as your needs changes, we can go ahead and transition you to other carriers that can meet your growing needs. That's probably the biggest advantage of working with an independent insurance or broker that represents multiple carriers. We can have choices for you versus one size fits all.
That makes sense. That makes sense. So any parting thoughts and so on? How do we stay out of the requirement for using the insurances we buy? We know the best insurance is the insurance we don't need. Parting thoughts for people who are starting out their own companies?
I think it's best before you sign contracts is to get your insurance broker involved, not as your legal representative, but as your insurance counselor, as a member of your team. We offer our clients at no additional cost the opportunity for them to have us review their insurance requirements for contracts they're contemplating on signing. Many times we can offer suggestions to them that they can go back and negotiate. It may end up positioning them much better at a far lower cost versus having already signed something. I'll give you one example. We had one of our clients that didn't follow that advice, called up our firm and said, just go ahead and handle it. Well, we handled it, sent them a bill for $5,000 and said that's what the additional cost was for the additional coverages he had to have based on a contract that he had signed.
Ouch. That can be really costly. And yes, I do recall we have actually done that. We've given you a shout and said, will you come be a part of this before we sign something? That's been very, very useful. Okay. So, Nina, do you have any parting questions for Dennis as you're working with folks who are between jobs or considering starting up their own businesses now that they've been laid off? Things that Dennis might be able to answer for those folks?
Well, actually, I was going to continue along the line with the blogosphere and other things online. Are there other things besides blogs that people need to be careful of online, whether it's internet marketing? I mean, I know a lot of people make their livelihood from internet marketing. What do they absolutely need to be careful of?
I think one of the things that gets many people in trouble is the good old Facebook account, where they have their personal websites and they perhaps divulge trademark secrets, company secrets, or perhaps make comments that might be misinterpreted. So we live in a world that is international at this point. Your personal website may turn out to be something that other people are using and may perhaps use it against you. So you have to exercise that same type of care and caution as you do with your company blog.
How could people reach you?
Well, the easiest way is our website is www.dkagency.net. Our email address is info@dkagency.net. Or they can look me up on Skype and send me a message. It's Dennis, D-E-N-N-I-S. Last name is Klemmer, K-L-E-M-M-E-R.
Got it. Thank you, both Dennis and Nina. And you can catch new episodes of CEO Coach every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific Time in the U.S. and around the world. Archives of our show can be found at webmasterradiof.fm or on iTunes. We'll be back next week with Webmaster Radio. This is Jillian Music for CEO Coach.